7. 4 months of training. For 4 long months, March, April, May, and June, this tarrying time continued. Jesus held over 100 long and earnest, though cheerful and joyous, sessions with these 6 associates and his own brother James. Owing to sickness in his family, Jude seldom was able to attend these classes. James, Jesus' brother, did not lose faith in him, but during these months of delay and inaction, Mary nearly despaired of her son. Her faith, raised to such heights at Cana, now sank to new low levels. She could only fall back on her so oft-repeated exclamation, "I cannot understand him. I cannot figure out what it all means." But James's wife did much to bolster Mary's courage. Throughout these 4 months, these 7 believers, one his own brother in the flesh, were getting acquainted with Jesus. They were getting used to the idea of living with this God-man. Though they called him Rabbi, they were learning not to be afraid of him. Jesus possessed that matchless grace of personality which enabled him so to live among them that they were not dismayed by his divinity. They found it really easy to be friends with God, God incarnate in the likeness of mortal flesh. This time of waiting severely tested the entire group of believers. Nothing, absolutely nothing, miraculous happened. Day by day they went about their ordinary work, while night after night they sat at Jesus' feet. And they were held together by his matchless personality and by the gracious words which he spoke to them evening upon evening. This period of waiting and teaching was especially hard on Simon Peter. He repeatedly sought to persuade Jesus to launch forth with the preaching of the kingdom in Galilee, while John continued to preach in Judea. But Jesus' reply to Peter ever was, "Be patient, Simon, make progress. We shall be none too ready when the Father calls." And Andrew would calm Peter now and then with his more seasoned and philosophic counsel. Andrew was tremendously impressed with the human naturalness of Jesus. He never grew weary of contemplating how one who could live so near God could be so friendly and considerate of men. Throughout this entire period, Jesus spoke in the synagogue but twice. By the end of these many weeks of waiting, the reports about his baptism and the wine of Cana had begun to quiet down. And Jesus saw to it that no more apparent miracles happened during this time. But even though they lived so quietly at Bethsaida, reports of the strange doings of Jesus had been carried to Herod Antipas, who in turn sent spies to ascertain what he was about. But Herod was more concerned about the preaching of John. He decided not to molest Jesus, whose work continued along so quietly at Capernaum. In this time of waiting, Jesus endeavored to teach his associates what their attitude should be toward the various religious groups and the political parties of Palestine. Jesus' words always were, "We are seeking to win all of them, but we are not of any of them." The scribes and rabbis, taken together, were called Pharisees. They referred to themselves as the associates. In many ways, they were the progressive group among the Jews, having adopted many teachings not clearly found in the Hebrew Scriptures, such as belief in the resurrection of the dead, a doctrine only mentioned by a later prophet, Daniel. The Sadducees consisted of the priesthood and certain wealthy Jews. They were not such sticklers for the details of law enforcement. The Pharisees and Sadducees were really religious parties rather than sects. The Essenes were a true religious sect, originating during the Maccabean Revolt, whose requirements were in some respects more exacting than those of the Pharisees. They had adopted many Persian beliefs and practices, lived as a brotherhood in monasteries, refrained from marriage, and had all things in common. They specialized in teachings about angels. The Zealots were a group of intense Jewish patriots. They advocated that any and all methods were justified in the struggle to escape the bondage of the Roman yoke. The Herodians were a purely political party that advocated emancipation from the direct Roman rule by a restoration of the Herodian dynasty. In the very midst of Palestine, there lived the Samaritans, with whom the Jews had no dealings, notwithstanding that they held many views similar to the Jewish teachings. All of these parties and sects, including the smaller Nazarite Brotherhood, believed in the sometime coming of the Messiah. They all looked for a national deliverer. But Jesus was very positive in making it clear that he and his disciples would not become allied to any of these schools of thought or practice. The Son of Man was to be neither a Nazarite nor an Essene. While Jesus later directed that the apostles should go forth, as John had, preaching the gospel and instructing believers, he laid emphasis on the proclamation of the good tidings of the kingdom of heaven. He unfailingly impressed upon his associates that they must show forth love, compassion, and sympathy. He early taught his followers that the kingdom of heaven was a spiritual experience, having to do with the enthronement of God in the hearts of men. As they thus tarried before embarking on their active public preaching, Jesus and the seven spent 2 evenings each week at the synagogue in the study of the Hebrew Scriptures. In later years, after seasons of intense public work, the apostles looked back upon these 4 months as the most precious and profitable of all their association with the Master. Jesus taught these men all they could assimilate. He did not make the mistake of overteaching them. He did not precipitate confusion by the presentation of truth too far beyond their capacity to comprehend.